Good morning. Good morning. I guess they've got me live and wired, I guess, this morning. Mark is not here, so, and of course, Brother Stevens is not here. And I believe you're all kind of stuck with me for the opening and the middle part and the closing. But we will remember them in prayer. And hope, I guess Mark is on a vacation trip and with his family. And he asked me if I'd take care of this today. And it's good to see you all. It really is. You knew it. Most of you knew I was going to teach, and you showed up anyway. So I appreciate that. And sometimes when I know that I'm going to teach, I'd like to lay out if I could. It's a little easier to sit back there than it is to stand up here, I'll just tell you. But anyway, I do appreciate you being here. I appreciate the music. I always appreciate the good music each morning and when we come in. And I appreciate you folks being here. I really do. And we've got several prayer requests. And one is for my middle daughter. She was coming today with her oldest sister and Linda. They were all going to be in this class. They've never heard me teach before, I don't guess. They've heard me preach quite a bit. And even some of that this week. I didn't take up an offering or anything from them. But she was coming down our stairs. Her room is upstairs. And I hate stairs. And then it reminded me this morning when she fell and hit the floor in the whatever you call that landing, I guess she really landed. It jarred the whole house. And we were all ready to go. And she's just in immense pain. And so Linda, we all rode together. So Linda is on her way to Quick Care or someplace to see if she needs an x-ray or what to do. I mean, she'd already checked herself out and said it already bruised really bad. And she hit hard, really hard. And so those of you that have fallen before, you can imagine what. That's my biggest fear as I've gotten older. I didn't used to ever worry about it. But my biggest fear is falling downstairs or upstairs or whatever. And I can't imagine. She's young and agile and all that stuff. But she sure did take a lick. And I thought, well, I don't think she's doing that just to get out here and me teach. Because she fell really hard. Now, sometimes she's from New York, and she's got a lot of those New York ways. And so when we get together at times for church and stuff, she's a little hesitant about coming. And so I was surprised that she was up and ready to go this morning. But then the Lord saw it a different way. So this is what it is, I guess, as they say. So let's remember her in prayer. Another prayer request we've got, I don't know if you folks know Tom that's in our class as amputee. He usually sits toward the back there and with the Hayeses, and they've become good friends. I think the Hayeses worked with him stepping through the light program. He has a friend, a lady friend, that is also an amputee. And she's wanting to get saved. And he can't go in, I guess some type of restrictions or something there, or maybe he doesn't feel comfortable trying to do that. He wants somebody from the church to come and witness to her and try to lead her to the Lord. And this lady's asked for that herself. And so I think that someone from our church, we need to see about getting this taken care of. And also, she wants to be able to come to church. And we have to have things more. She'd have to be on the handicap accessible bus. Now, I don't know if Tom rides a. Does he ride a. Do we have a handicap accessible bus? He drives. But she wouldn't be able to ride with him. So, but anyway, that's something we need to pray about and see about. You know, there's a world of people out there that want to be able to do things that we just take for granted. And I'm as guilty or more so than, well, just never think about things like that. Because I've got all my limbs. But I do feel for folks like that, and so we need to see what we can do for them. Karen Smith has down her granddaughter,
Dominique.
Okay, I'm glad that your writing is about like mine, Karen. Where are you? They said spiritual and physical issues. And you know, lots of times when you got spiritual issues, physical issues just follow it. It's amazing to me. It has in my own life. And Diane Edwards has, Dennis Wilson's wife has cancer, and he is the pastor of Lynn Valley Baptist Church. You know, cancer is not a respecter of persons anymore.
Stage 4 cancer.
Pardon?
Stage 4 cancer.
Stage 4 cancer.
And
well, let's remember him in prayer. How is Stacy Steele's sister doing that had stage 4 cancer? Has anybody heard an update on her? And I'm sorry, I don't remember her name, but she was on her prayer list. Lindsay? Well, the treatment, most of the treatment that they have this day and time for cancer is probably as bad or worse than the disease, unfortunately. And so many folks that just can't handle all that. And so we need to, if you're healthy today, or even somewhat healthy today, you've got a lot to be thankful for. I mean, you really do. An update on Felix Warp. Oh, he passed away. This is Mike Hodges' friend that we'd been praying for, or the class had been praying for him. I guess he was real bad sick, and he passed away on the 24th of this month. Yes, sir.
Larry, I'm reporting, in case people don't know about Laura and Charlie Ward. Laura did not have extensive cancer when they did those tests recently, so she is on chemo now.
Well, that's what I was wondering, is that that's good news.
Yeah, because they would have had Charlie Ward would have and then Charlie, he was able to go on for Christmas, a little bit, I told him. And I think he's about
to be
early in the year to
be able
to go home.
Well, that'd be wonderful if he could. I know Charlie's health had been declining. I mean, you could see it when he was walking in the church. But he tried to be here every day, every time the doors was open. Charlie tried his best to be here. And I hope that would be my desire. If I was feeling that bad, that I'd still want to try to be at church and be around our family. You know what? We're family. And that's one of the things I was going to talk about a little bit this morning, is that we are family. Whether you're a member here or not a member here, you're part of our family. As long as you're in this class, if you're a first-time visitor, I want you to feel like you're part of our family. I want you to feel like that you're comfortable here and that you're glad to be here, that you're going to meet with folks that are like-minded. And most of us are like-minded as long as we're in here. Now, we get outside, it might be a little bit different. I feel for all the folks that were Buckeye fans last night. And I know we have some of them in the class. And I spent most of my day yesterday and the day before watching ball games. I love college football. And a couple of years ago, the kids, or Linda, got me a set of headphones so they don't have to listen to it. And the good thing about those headphones, I don't have to listen to them either. And they holler at me, "Man," I said, "No, I don't hear a thing." But I've enjoyed my week with my family and my youngest son's, his oldest boy, or his only boy, got the flu right before everybody was supposed to come in, so they've not got here yet, but we've still got their presents under the tree, and none of it will fit me anyway, so we're going to wait until they get here to get those opened up. And I hope that you all have had a good Christmas and had a good time with your families, and your earthly families, and I know some of you Tim's son's been sick, and some of the others, their family members have been sick. And but it's good to have a good Christmas time. It really is. We need to remember the family of Bob Avery that passed away on Thursday. That's Love Gross. Is that some of your friends? What I'm going to be teaching about today, and I don't want to get my lesson started too quickly, but is about things that happen in our lives that sometimes we don't understand, and we don't even realize that they've happened to us till a lot later. But we'll go to the Lord in prayer first, and let me see if there's some of these announcements. One announcement I wanted to make and not forget was about the election for our new pastor. They have changed the time as of today, or as of right now, to 4:30 on that Sunday, on January 19th. So, and of course, we're going to be blessed that day with David Gibbs. I don't know if you've never heard him preach. He is a wonderful preacher. And I'll never forget one of the messages he preached here is that about us needing knowledge, about us knowing the will of the Lord. And he's a fantastic preacher. He's over the Christian Law Association, and they do a fabulous work. They have attorneys. I don't know how many attorneys they have on staff. And our church helps sponsor them, but they go into places where churches are in a legal battle and having a really tough time. And sometimes it's between members of the church. Pastor Stevens, I guess last week, was in a situation like that, trying to help him. He was going down to be a referee, I suppose you could say. And it's amazing how people can get mad at each other in the church. And people just bound and determined to have their way. And you get two factions bound and determined to have their way. Well, look at the United States. Look at our government. I mean, is this part of our human nature, I suppose, that we want our way or no way? And I'm as guilty of that. Bethany's in here, my oldest daughter, and she can attest to that. And I'm glad Linda didn't get to stay. She said, I want to be able to tell my side of the story. But anyway, we need to pray for our church and pray that this never happens. I've seen it happen to so many churches. Goodness gracious. I mean, good churches. Over in Kingsport, a good church made the local news about their problems they were having. And I thought, it's a good church. And some people just got riled up about this or that or the other. But it's a shame when we have to bring it. It gets so bad that the sheriff has to come. I've never been involved in anything like that. I've been in some church, well, the church I came from to here, I decided what they were doing, and I grew up in that church, and so did Linda and our children and all that. We just decided that that wasn't the right thing we thought the church ought to be doing, so we just found us another church, and we found Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And that's part of a lesson. I'm getting ahead of myself. But anyway, we need to pray for these folks and pray for these prayer requests. And so many times we go over these prayer requests and then I forget about them. And so we need to try to remember these and the ones that's in your bulletin today. But the main thing is in announcements is unless they change it back to the evening service, the vote will be taken on at 4:30 p.m. And I think some of their thinking was is that it would accommodate some folks that doesn't like to get out and drive at night. Some of our older folks. And I guess I fall into that category anymore, but I still like to drive at night. I've got good headlights on my car. But there's some folks that worries them about driving at night. And so they were trying to accommodate them. Well, then this morning, I hear that they had some folks say, well, I don't want to come at 4:30. And so there again, you just can't please everybody all the time. I said, well, I told the ones I was talking to, I said, why not just have it after the Sunday morning service when everybody's there? And then if they want to come Sunday night for the regular service, they can. And if they don't want to come, they don't have to be here at 4:30. There's nothing wrong with having the vote right after church.
We're not
going
to have to call the sheriff.
Well, you might have to. And speaking of the vote, I hope that you folks have gotten a copy of our bylaws. I have some with me here, or one with me. And I think they'll be available out front this morning if you don't have them, and I'll not take the time to read them. But I think they're very fair. It's our church bylaws. I didn't write them, didn't have anything to do with writing them, and neither did anybody in this room, as far as I know. I don't think anybody was back here when these bylaws were written or rewritten or whatever it was, but this is our bylaws. And I think they're very fair, and I encourage you. I really do. I think Brother Herdman will make us a great pastor. And that's my personal opinion. And if I have any influence on anybody, I would love for you to vote for him and for his family. But what I would really love to see is you folks that have never joined the church, when he becomes our pastor or whomever becomes our pastor, the first Sunday, you just join up. Been coming for a long time. Some of them have been coming for a real long time, but have never joined. Need to join up. And you're welcome if you're not a member. You're welcome if you are a member. But there's something for everybody to do. And maybe that's the reason some people don't join, because they don't want anything to do. But there'll be something to do that you're capable of doing and that you'll enjoy doing. And a lot of things that I do, I don't necessarily enjoy it, but it's still part of my church life. And so I encourage you to join up. The choir needs more members. And we need some people that's been in the choir to get back in the choir. We need, I'm sure we need teachers. And we're talking about this class being so big that someday, if they ever got the room, we'd probably have to divide this class up some way or another. Because the ideal class is probably 25 people. And we have five times that in here, lots of times. And I don't want to divide it up. I don't know. I don't know if I want to go with this group over here or this group over there. And maybe neither one of the groups wants me to go with them. But that's some of the problems that our church faces. But that's good problems. I'm glad that the Lord has blessed us so much that our attendance has been up and offerings have been fantastic. And the Lord is seemingly blessing in every service. So remember to vote if you're eligible to vote. And if you can't, if you're not eligible to vote, get joined up to where you can be eligible to vote the next time. I mean, knowing Baptist churches, we may want to vote him out or something after we got him. Well, anyway, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for another Sunday that we can join together and worship you. And I pray, dear Lord, that today for those that are sick and can't be here, I pray for my daughter that you'd be with her. And I wish she could have been here. I want her to be in church today. And you know the need in her life. And I pray that you would be with the others that couldn't be here for different reasons, those that are traveling, and be with Dr. Smith, or Dr. Stevens, rather, and bless him in Maryland as they're up in Ohio. And just bring them back safely and help us to have a good... I don't know who's preaching here today, Lord, but I pray that you anoint the preaching. I pray that you bless this class this morning. Be with all these prayer requests that have been written down on people's hearts. And let's see what we can do about being a better people and a better church for being here today. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. I've got two or three pages of notes here, and I don't know. I tell you what, I see people get up and speak, and they can follow their notes. My wife says I get off on too many war stories. But when you get as old as I have, you've seen a lot of wars and participated in a lot of wars. And sometimes that's what we like to talk about. But I'm going to try to stick to this today. We went over the announcements. We've went over the standards for voting. And so make sure and get you a copy of the bylaws. And make sure you're eligible. And those that are not eligible, get eligible for the next election, for the next time that we have to vote on something. You're part of us, and I want you to feel like you're part of us. And really, that's a little bit of your obligation. That's just the way I look at things like that. Now, you may agree with me, may not agree with me, but that's the way I look at it. And that won't buy anybody a cup of coffee anymore. But anyway, some of you have been here for a while, but still not joined. As an old-timer here, I wish you would all join as soon or after the new pastor is elected. I think that would be a great thing on his first Sunday, that he's our pastor, that a group of you guys that have never joined, for whatever reason you've never joined, that you just join up on that Sunday and be an encouragement to him. I want to, when we do get him, whether it's Brother John or whoever it is, I want us to get behind him. I plan on getting behind him with everything I can to encourage him and try to be a help to him. And we all need to do that. Even if you're not a member, you can do that. But it's up to you. There's always something to do for non-members. There's something to do for members too. And so let's just get in here together. And I tell you what, when you get involved in it, you get more happy with it. Or at least I have in my own life. And we've got a wonderful staff. I really think that the best days are ahead for us. I really do. But anyway, one thing you know if you've been here for a while is, like Linda and me, or just a short while, or you're just visiting today for your first time, you're welcome. This church has the welcome mat out 24/7. And if you never feel like that you've been made welcome, come see me. I'll shake your hand. I won't even have to do a fist bump with you. I'll shake your hand. I might get some disinfected after I do that. Or you may need some after you do that with me. But I want you to feel welcome here. Every time you darken the door, I want you to feel welcome. That you're wanted and that you're needed. One thing that you'll know, or you will know, that Buffalo Ridge is totally based on God's Word. I was thinking this morning when I got up, the first verse that I ever learned as a child, I learned it in public school. Didn't learn it in church. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And I learned that as a first or second grader. Because we had people that came around in the public schools back then and taught us stuff like that. And we'd get us some kind of little reward if we could remember those verses. And I wish our schools were still like that. Yeah. I really do. I wish they were still that way. Today, I had to send my kids to a private Christian school so they could have at least a little taste of that type of education. And the Lord blessed me to where I could afford to do that, but so many people can't afford to do that. And you still have to pay your taxes. I still had to pay my taxes to support the school systems. And I believe that we should support them. But our country has gotten so far away from trying to do right. And then you look at Washington, D.C., and you can see that they're just trying to make it go in so many different directions and so many different opinions and all that. But you know the only opinion, I can give you my opinions, and I've already have some today, but my opinions don't amount to a hill of beans unless they're in agreement with God's Word. And that's what our church is based on. That's what our church's verse should be. And that's our mission, is to let everybody know that God so loved us that He sent His only begotten Son that would die for us and take our sin debt on us. I can pay my sin debt. Sometimes I have a hard time paying my debts that I've got, that I signed a note for or something. But I definitely, He signed my note for my sin debt, and He took care of it. And I'll never have to answer for them. And praise the Lord for that. And neither will you if you've accepted Him as your Savior. Whatever we say or preach or teach, God's word is and always will be the only standard. That's period. That's the end of it. There's no room for discussion about that at Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. And I think our 15 deacons that served on the pulpit committee, they went through this with 29 candidates. And it's hard for me to understand. I can't get along with my own family 6 months at a time without having a major disagreement about something. But when you get 15 men that have different occupations, different lifestyles, and everything about them would say, well, they can't agree on anything. That many people agree on 100% on somebody. But they did. And they had a wonderful process. And they worked that process. And they got it down to this final candidate. And I encourage you to vote for him. Support our deacon. You know, if I didn't even like him, and I knew him a long time ago from Franklin Road Church, where we go when we're in Murfreesboro. But if I didn't like him, and I had nothing, I didn't know that they're even talking to him until they gave out the announcement that he came from a church that was twice as big as ours and run a lot of buses and all that stuff. And then it just dawned on me who they were talking about was their final candidate. But he's worthy of your vote. He's worthy to be our pastor. And I'm looking forward to him being our pastor. And I hope he gets 100% of the vote. And even if you don't like him, you can do like me and Linda did. You can always find you one that you do like if you don't like him. But I pray if you give him a chance, and we'll all give him a chance, he'll stumble a time or two, and he'll have some things. He might say something that you won't agree with or you won't like or rubs you the wrong way. But remember, he's going to be our pastor. I'll tell you what, when you look at politics, you look at our president, I love our president. But there's a lot of people that absolutely hate him and can't stand him. And I don't love all the things he does or all the things he says. And he's a lot like me. He says lots of things that he ought to keep his mouth shut. But anyway, I guess that's neither here nor there as far as our class goes. But I do encourage you to get behind our new pastor and go and vote for him. And support our deacons. It's amazing, 15 men that's our brothers in Christ could agree on something that specific and that important to the livelihood and the history of our church, the future history of our church. Well, let's get to God's word. I've said enough of mine. If I had a title for today's lesson, which I did have, and I should have started a long time ago with it. Turn to Esther chapter 4, verse 14. If you know the story of Esther, and I really enjoyed studying Esther. I use J. Vernon McGee's reading through the Bible or Bible commentary or whatever it is, and I use that as my daily devotions, and he explains the scriptures and stuff. And I never paid a lot of attention to Esther until I was reading it with his commentary. But in verse 14 of chapter 4 of Esther, it says, "For if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place." In other words, the Jews were getting ready to be annihilated. Or at least that was what the king had decreed. In his ignorance, he didn't know that he was decreeing that. So you have to read the whole story. I mean, it was a bad time for the Jewish nation. And people have tried to get rid of them ever since they were chosen as God's people. But God was going to step in and make sure it didn't happen. The rest of the verse says that, well, in this part, they were going to be taken care of maybe in some other way if she didn't do what she needed to do. "But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? And sometimes we're sitting in such a time as this, that the Lord wants us to do something. And sometimes we're hesitant about doing it. I know that I get either lazy or scared or whatever to say anything or do anything when the Lord's really laid something on my heart that needs to be done or needs to be said. So, but anyway, that was Esther's time there. And I really enjoyed reading Esther. It's a sweet story. If you've never studied the book of Esther, well, you need to study it and read it from the beginning to the end. And it's such a sweet story. Then in my daily Bible reading, after I got through with Esther, I came to Job. Little different story. And I can imagine, and I'm glad I had J. Vernon McGee's commentary to help me through Job, or I'm not all the way through it yet. Of course, I knew the end of the story, but it was a difficult time. And so what I'm talking about today is God's providence. How he brings things into our lives. We may not even recognize that he brought them into our lives till years later. I can remember when I was a 15-year-old boy working at the Dairy Queen. There's this shy, beautiful girl came down to the Dairy Queen one day. I didn't know it was God's providence for me. But I asked her for a date, and she had little enough sense to go. I don't know if she thinks it was God's providence or not. But 58 years later, we dated for nearly 4 years, and then we've been married for 55 years in July. I can look back on it and say it was God's providence. I'm glad the day I saw her pull up there in the parking lot. But there's been lots of other things in my life that I can look at. And part of that was that she came from a good Christian family. I didn't do that. She came from a preacher's family. Even though he worked at a secular job, but he was still a good Free Will Baptist preacher. Now, we had some disagreements later on about our doctrines and things like that, but he was a fine Christian man, and her mother was a fine Christian lady. And got me under their influence, and he wouldn't let me date her unless I went to church with him. And that got me in church. And got me to thinking, I'd already been saved as a young boy, but I hadn't paid any attention to my salvation. Didn't really know what I had. But that providence of God put me in that church, let me hear the gospel, and they went every time the doors were open. And so if I wanted to be with her, I went to church every time the doors were open. And I was glad to do that for a long, long time. We got married in that church. Raised our family. Our family started being born into that church. And so when we had to leave that church, we wanted to find a place that I thought was better for my family. My family didn't all think that. But it was Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. I'd known Preacher Leslie for a long, long time. I knew that he was a man of God. And I knew that God's Word was what was preached and taught here. And it's what this church was based on. And we visited a few other churches, but none of them ever felt right. Some of them probably felt right for our kids because they were very young and they were wanting something more, but I knew what I needed. And as a household, head of the household, or supposedly the head of the household, but Lynn and I both agreed on this church, whether the kids did or not. And I'm so thankful that it, but that was God's providence in my life. And I bet you, every one of you, I won't bet you, I know that every one of you can look at things that's come into your life that has changed your life drastically. It may be because you're here today. And I'm glad for God's providence. Now, God's providence to me has usually been pretty sweet. But like in Job's life, God's providence sometimes comes hurtful and hard and scary. I remember when we'd been in business for a good while and the crunch hit, or I call it the crunch, Some people call it a recession, but I call it a crunch because I felt like I was being crunched to death between the banks and everything else, and business was just really in a jam. And I thought, how in the world is this happening to me? How is this? And you know, businesses come and go, finances come and go, and I know people that's been in much worse problems. Maybe a child passes away. I don't know how people handle that. This week, I went to my barber. He's 84 years old, still cutting hair. And he cuts hair the way he wants it cut. I can tell him how I want him to do this, that, or the other. It comes out the same every time. I'm just glad he didn't give me a mohawk or something like that. But while I was sitting there waiting, there was a young man sitting in the I guess he's probably a teenager, maybe 16, 17 years old, sitting in the barber chair, and he had a little boy sitting in his lap that was completely deformed, mentally, physically, in every way it could be. I'd say that little boy was probably 8 or 9 years old. And he was holding him. The little boy never made a peep, but he was holding him in his arms. The little boy would move around and stuff, as people like that with that condition in their lives will do. But I thought about how much love that big brother had for his little brother. How much he cared for him. And he was going to sit there as a teenage boy and hold that little boy while he got his hair cut. And my 84-year-old barber, he did a good job with him. And then I got to talk to him after the family left. His granddad had him there. And then his family came in. I guess it was the grandmother. And she hugged the barber. But he had been cutting his hair since he was old enough to get a haircut. And he knew how to do it. I seen him with other little kids. He'd tell them, now, they were squirming around. He says, now, which tooth did you want me to pull? Or would you rather me cut your hair? Boy, that set up straight there. And he'd learned the techniques for dealing with kids and for us old folks too. And he's an inspiration to me, being 84 years old, and still stands up and cuts people's hair all day long, and he stays covered up. I mean, he's got customers that come and gone that's been famous people and stuff, and he knows stories. His mind is still good and clear. He's got a lot to be thankful for. But I'm thankful for God's providence that let me see that yesterday and know that there's still people that needs love and needs care. We've got some of them in our church. And that young man, I told him when they came down getting ready to leave, I said, young man, you did a good job there. And I think his granddaddy was really proud of him because he took care of his little brother. And the Lord takes care of us. Lots of times Jesus treats us like we're his little brothers or little sisters and takes us in his arms and loves on us when we're having a hard time. And he did that to Job. I wish I could have gotten all the verses in Job that I wanted to read to you, but I've talked too much about other things. But Job ended up, let's turn to the last chapter in Job, and I'm going to get to the end of the lesson since time is about gone. And it was strange how much I enjoyed reading Esther. Then I go over to Job, and it wasn't but a chapter or two till it was very depressing. But in Job chapter 42, and Job's friends had been there trying to encourage him, and they were a big discouragement, if anything else. But in chapter 42, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. You know, my biggest problem sometimes is what I think. And I have to really guard my mind to keep it on what it should be on. I hope you're not bothered with that, but you're all human just like me, I suppose. Who is he that holdeth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. Job was one of the most upright men in the world in his day. But he had room to improve. He had room to repent. And if you think that you don't have any room to repent in your life, you're a better person than me. And I hope that you realize when you do need repentance in your life. But anyway, and it's in verse 7, it says, "And it was so that after the Lord had spoken these words unto Job, the Lord said unto Eliphaz the Temanite, my wrath is kindled against thee." This was one of Job's friends that had been there criticizing him and supposedly trying to help him. "And against thy two friends, for ye have not spoken of me the thing that is right, as my servant Job hath." Verse 8 says, "Therefore take unto you now 7 bullocks and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job, and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering, and my servant Job shall pray for you, for him will I accept, lest I deal with you after your folly, and that ye have not spoken to me the thing which is right, like my servant Job." So Eliphaz and the Temanite and Bildad the Shunite and Zophar the Namathite, I'm glad I wasn't living back then, I know what they'd name me, went and did according as Job commanded them. The Lord also accepted Job. And the Lord turned the captivity of Job, which, you know, he lost his children. I don't know how people go through that. But he lost all of his children. He lost all of his riches. I've seen people do that. I thought at one time that was going to happen to me. I really did. I thought we were just going to go broke. And my sons were working full time with me. And they were going to go broke with me. That really made me feel bad. And but the Lord brought us through it. And I look back on it today as it was a providence of God that that would happen. Because he probably thought I was getting too big for my britches. Thought I was getting too proud of how successful we were. And I'd lost my feeling of humbleness. And so I tried to learn from that God's providence in my life. And sometimes things that are not good at all can be God's providence. Now, I don't know how to explain it when it gets so desperate that you lose a family member or you have cancer or you have something that's just absolutely wrong. But you can look back on it in a while, if you're a Christian, and say, well, that was God's providence. And you know, I learned from it. And I hope that I learned a lesson that I'll never be bothered with. I hope I won't get so proud at my business or about my abilities or about anything or what little talent I have. Never get so proud of it that the Lord has to drag me down through something like that again and get my attention again like he did. And he did that to Job. And Job finally realized what his problem was. And we'll go down and read the end of the story in verse 12. "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses. He also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. Never says a word about what happened to Job's wife. But I guess she got the picture when she had 10 more kids. And the last part of the chapter says, "After this lived Job 140 years and saw his sons, his sons' sons, even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days." And God's providence was all over Job. God's providence is all over all of us. And like Esther's uncle told us, it was for such a time as this. And we're in those times. And you need to see each time that you have to make some kind of decision, this is for such a time as this. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you for your providence. I thank you for when it's sweet and good. But also thank you for when it's hard and cruel and trying to teach us a lesson that we cannot learn any other way. And I pray that this class and myself will always look to see when we're having good times or bad times or whatever times we're having, what your providence is, what your will is, and how you're dealing with us. Thank you again for our church. Be with us in the preaching service and singing and everything be done to please you. In Jesus' name, amen.